The 2008 March for Independence, a photo report. A photo appears at this point, the caption, Federationists gather in the staging area outside the hotel, preparing to begin the second annual March for Independence, a walk for opportunity. At well before 7 a.m. on Wednesday morning, July 2nd, more than 1,000 Federationists began assembling in the parking lot outside the Hilton Anatole Hotel in Dallas for our second annual March for Independence. Designated affiliate representatives picked up state signs from waiting volunteers, while other marching teams and delegations found one another and hoisted homemade banners in anticipation of the 5K round-trip walk from the NFB Convention Headquarters Hotel to the AT&T Victory Plaza at the American Airlines Center. Bedecked in March for Independence t-shirts and caps, premiums awarded for raising different levels of money for the Imagination Fund, Federationists were easily identifiable as a uniformed and united mass of humanity. As the march commenced, everybody who wanted one was given a straw cowboy hat as protection from the rays of the rising Dallas sun. Two photos appear at this point. Photo 1, the caption, Federation leaders assembled at the head of the march line. From left to right are Tommy Craig, Mary Ellen Jernigan, Mark Maurer, Anil Lewis and his son, and Kevin Worley. Photo 2, the caption, NFB of Georgia President Anil Lewis and his son, Amari, urged the crowd on with chants and slogans. Here, Anil Lewis speaks into a portable microphone with a crowd of Federationists not far behind him. NFB President Mark Maurer, Congressman Pete Sessions, Honorary March Chairperson, Mary Ellen Jernigan, Chairwoman of Convention Organization and Activities, Kevin Worley, Chairperson of the NFB Imagination Fund, Tommy Craig, President of the NFB of Texas, and other local dignitaries led the spirited throng along the march route. The persistent chants of NFB of Georgia President Anil Lewis and his 10-year-old son, Amari, broadcasting encouragement to the crowd on a portable public address system, urged the crowd forward. In an effort to improve communications among marchers this year, several sound repeaters were strategically placed among the marchers. Proclaiming the independence and capacity of blind people by sign and sound alike, Federationists enjoyed one another's company as they filed into Victory Plaza, serenaded by a jazzed-up version of Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man, for the mid-March rally. Two photos appear at this point. Photo 1, the caption, A mother and son step away from the march momentarily to explore an automatic sprinkler watering a bit of Texas. Photo 2, the caption, A crowd of Federationists travel under an overpass en route to Victory Plaza. Meanwhile, volunteers and NFB staff provided behind-the-scenes support for the march and the marchers. Golf carts circulated along the route to provide a respite for tired walkers. Buses provided alternative transportation for those unable to march but determined to participate in this convention highlight. Bottled water, Red Bull, and energy bars were on hand to provide some sustenance to the early morning marchers. A photo appears at this point, the caption, Federationists stream into Victory Plaza, having completed the first half of the march. On a giant screen in the background, Kevin Worley, master of ceremonies for the march rally, can be seen welcoming the crowd and preparing for the program. Kevin Worley served again this year as the Master of Ceremonies for the March Rally. He reviewed the purposes of the Imagination Fund and explained that the March for Independence, a walk for opportunity, was the culminating fundraising event for this campaign. Kevin explained that a priority focus of the Imagination Fund this year would be support of the Braille Readers Are Leaders National Literacy Campaign that will celebrate the life and legacy of Louis Braille through the distribution of the commemorative Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. A photo appears at this point, the caption, Federationist Jessica Bachicha opened the rally by singing the national anthem. To begin the program, Kevin introduced Jessica Bachicha, a gifted vocalist and active Federationist who performed a rousing a cappella rendition of the national anthem, which filled the Victory Plaza.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs burst. Bursting in air, gave proof through the
Kevin took a few moments to recognize March sponsor representatives from Walmart and Sam's Club. He then introduced and played a new Imagine video produced by the NFB to promote the Imagination Fund. Federationists may view this new marketing product on the NFB website at http://www.nfb.org. A photo appears at this point, the caption, President Maurer's image was projected on large screens in the front of Victory Plaza. Here he delivers his address to the enthusiastic marchers. President Maurer next delivered an address to the assembled marchers that explained to all who listened why we had come and why we will continue to do the work of the Federation.
We have come to Dallas, Texas this July morning to participate in this National March for Independence, a walk for opportunity. Who are we and why do we come? We are the Blind of the Nation, organized in the National Federation of the Blind. We are the most powerful force in America dealing with blindness. We are blind factory workers, blind professionals, blind parents, the parents of blind children and the children themselves, blind musicians, blind office employees, blind rehabilitation workers, blind people receiving rehabilitation training, blind people seeking employment, blind people searching for opportunity, blind teachers, and blind students. We are the blind who come to transform the nature of blindness through common effort and a dedicated spirit. Woo! 70% of us are unemployed, but not because we can't work and not because we won't. Our experience demonstrates that we face obstacles to our progress greater than almost anybody else in society. These are not obstacles created by our blindness, though some of these do exist, but by the misunderstanding of our blindness, by the failure of those who have not been able to accept us for the talented, vibrant human beings that we are. Because of this misunderstanding, because of this failure to comprehend, we must constantly find methods not only to perform without sight those activities that others conduct with it, but we must fight for the right to do so. We must fight for education. We must fight for employment. We must fight for the tools of learning. We must even fight to learn to read. There is irony in this. We who want to learn had to become well enough educated to advocate for the passage of a law that said we had a right to Braille books. Why is it so hard for certain public officials to understand that we want something to read and that we want it in Braille? Surely this is not a complicated request. Surely this is not beyond the capacity of people in the Department of Education to comprehend. Surely a need of such simplicity should not have demanded legislative action. However, when it became apparent to us that our first effort to require Braille literacy had failed, a second law became necessary. Today, blind children in elementary and high school are to get their books in a form usable by the blind at the same time that sighted students get theirs. (Clears throat) This is not simply a good idea, it is the law. And yet, despite the adoption of this legislation, the books are not there. Blind children are not getting them. Our blind children are being denied an education. Our blind children are being told that they will have no future. And this is not all. It is simply one of the elements of deprivation that we face. Why are we here? I can think of 1,000 reasons, or 10,000, or 100,000, and more than 1,000 of them are here today. We will not be kept in ignorance. We will not be cut out of the mainstream of American life. We will not be cast aside. We will not accept the assertion that our rights are less forceful than those of others. We will not accept the proposition that we cannot participate fully in the lives of our communities. We have faced deprivation because of our blindness, a deprivation derived from the failure to comprehend the talent we have and the people we are. We have faced challenges to our fundamental right to form families and raise our children. We have faced the intimidation of those who would take from us the opportunity to run businesses. We have faced the challenges of getting the basic documents to learn in elementary school, in high school, and in the halls of academia. We have faced the denial of an opportunity for work with all of the attendant diminution of possibility that comes with no job, no chance to use our talent. We have walked this morning to this place. This walk is a public demonstration that we have energy and will and commitment. Along with all other Americans, we have the right to exercise this will, and nobody, nobody can keep us from it. For those who want us to give our children to others, we say no. For those who want us to be in ignorance, we say never. For those who want us to remain in idleness, we say it cannot happen. We are organized and we will take action. Furthermore, reading is essential for our future, and we demand literacy. Not later, but now. Not in some distant day, but before the sun shall set. Not for somebody else, but for us and for those who come after us. This is the meaning of the March for Independence. This is what will come from our actions today. This is the determination of the National Federation of the Blind.
A photo appears at this point, the caption, Marche Daughtry, Hannah Weathered, Jordan Richardson, and Vejas Vasiliauskas are seated at the head table on the rally stage. They presented a resolution on the importance of Braille and the NFB as tools to help their generation gain a quality education and solid employment. Hannah Weathered is speaking into the microphone while the others listen. Four Federation youth, Jordan Richardson, Marche Daughtry, Vejas Vasiliauskas, and Hannah Weathered, then asked President Maurer to be recognized to present a resolution affirming the importance of the role of both Braille and the National Federation of the Blind in gaining literacy, education, and employment for their generation. They captivated and charmed the March audience as they took turns reading their resolution in Braille. The text of this ceremonial resolution, informally adopted by March participants, follows.
Whereas, of the nearly 50,000 school-aged blind children in America today, only 10% are able to read Braille, and fewer than half will graduate from high school, and...
Whereas blind people who read Braille are likely to become employed, while blind people who cannot read Braille have a 70% chance of being unemployed and living in poverty, and...
Whereas blind Americans owe a debt of gratitude to the members of the United States Congress for authorizing the striking of a coin commemorating the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille and directing that funds from the sale of the coin go to the National Federation of the Blind to develop and implement effective programs to increase Braille literacy among blind children and adults. Now, therefore,
be it resolved that we will be literate, able to read and write Braille because of the efforts of the thousands of men and women of the National Federation of the Blind.
Be it further resolved. Be it further resolved that we will earn our high school diplomas and be able to go on to pursue advanced degrees because of the efforts of the thousands of men and women of the National Federation of the Blind. And...
be it further resolved that we be employed, pursuing challenging careers because of the efforts of the thousands of men and women of the National Federation of the Blind.
A photo appears at this point, the caption, Congressman Pete Sessions. Honorary March Chairperson Representative Pete Sessions of Texas next addressed the gathered marchers. His brief remarks resonated with the multitude present, and his second appearance before the entire NFB convention later in the afternoon reached inspirational heights when he acknowledged our organizational spirit and influence, prodding us to carry on with our mission. Three photos appear at this point. Photo 1, the caption, Mark Maurer, left, and Ed Moy, director of the U.S. Mint, right, unveil the obverse of the newly designed Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. Photo 2, the caption, the obverse of the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. Photo 3, the caption, the reverse of the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. The design of the commemorative Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar was unveiled at the March rally. U.S. Mint Director Ed Moy conducted the official unveiling and public presentation of the coin's design. The commemorative dollar will be available for purchase in the spring of 2009. Braille Monitor readers should look for further details about purchasing the coin in future issues of the magazine. Director Moy invited President Maurer and Congressman Pete Sessions to help him unveil the obverse, the front, and the reverse, the back, of the coin. Below is the detailed description of the Louis Braille coin that Director Moy delivered to the rally audience. The coin obverse, or head side of the coin, features a handsome image of Louis Braille from the neck up, facing forward. This image captures him as the energetic, confident, and successful young man he was, and the image fills the center of the coin. He is wearing a jacket and collar in the style of the early 1800s, and his hair is fashionably wavy. The coin also bears the inscription, Liberty, along the curve of the coin above his head, and the words, Louis Braille, underneath his portrait. In God We Trust is inscribed to the right of Braille's image at cheek level. The date 1809 appears on the left and 2009 appears on the right, both at collar height. On the coin reverse, the most prominent image is a boy who looks to be about 8 or 9 sitting at a table reading a book in Braille. He is wearing a t-shirt and has the top of a cane resting on his left arm. The word Braille in Braille code, abbreviated BRL, as it is in Braille code, is produced on the upper half of the coin. The spacing of the letters ensures that the text is no different from printed or written Braille to the touch. On the left in the background, the word Independence is written along the top of a bookshelf full of books. The inscription, United States of America, is at the top of the curve of the coin. $1 is at the bottom, and E Pluribus Unum is to the right of the seated child reading Braille. As the enthusiastic crowd chanted Braille in unison, Director Moy had President Maurer confirm that the Braille on the newly designed coin was legible. It was. As the rally concluded, Kevin announced the launch of http://www.braille.org, the official website for the Braille Readers Are Leaders National Braille Literacy Campaign. Kevin explained that all of the information about the coin and the Braille initiatives of the National Federation of the Blind could soon be found at this one-stop website. While the dignitaries left the platform, Kevin Worley and NFB Treasurer Pam Allen read aloud the names of the 101 Gold Medallion March fundraisers, those who raised $1,000 or more for the Imagination Fund. Marchers streamed out of Victory Plaza, en route back to the hotel for the start of the first general session of the convention. Voices, signs, and moods remained high for the balance of the 2008 March for Independence, A Walk for Opportunity. Our hopeful and optimistic message of the morning was carried by both local and national media to thousands around the nation. The brief article that appeared in the Dallas Morning News on Thursday, July 3rd, was representative of the coverage this event garnered. The text of the article follows. 1,000 Blind People and Supporters March Through Dallas by Dan X. McGraw. Adam Rushfort's white cane tapped against the pavement outside the American Airlines Center this morning as he navigated the street with other blind men and women from across the country. Though the 28-year-old Utah man couldn't see the crowd, he certainly could hear it, and he hopes others did as well. "This is about independence," Mr. Rushfort said. "Independence for blind people in both literacy and job opportunities. We want to be heard." Nearly 1,000 blind people and supporters cheered and sang as they marched more than a mile from the Hilton Anatole Hotel on Stemmons Freeway to Victory Plaza in hopes of raising awareness of their needs in a march sponsored by the National Federation of the Blind. Several officials, including Representative Pete Sessions, Republican Dallas, spoke about the need to improve education about blindness, increase accessibility to jobs, and teach all blind children to read Braille. About 10% of blind children are taught Braille in schools, and many have limited access to audiobooks to expand their education, said Dr. Mark Maurer, the Federation's president. The lack of materials leaves many blind people without the same opportunities as sighted people, and an estimated 70% of them without jobs, Mr. Maurer said. The Federation's goal is to work for equality. The books are not there, Mr. Maurer said. Our blind are told that they will have no future. That is unacceptable. During a ceremony after the march, U.S. Mint Director Ed Moy unveiled the design of the 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar, the first U.S. coin to feature readable Braille. The coin will be sold in spring 2009, and the Federation will receive $10 for every silver dollar purchased, Mr. Moy said. It reads, with a capital B, Braille, Mr. Maurer told the crowd as people erupted in cheers.